Dear Lord, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we pause before we open this word of life that is before us to thank thee for this opportunity to have gathered. We thank thee for thy living word which is before us. We thank thee for thy presence as thou art here with us. We simply pray, O Lord, that as we have gathered, that each one of us would be ready to receive this precious seed of life, that each one of us would receive thy word and with thy spirit, the moving of thy spirit, O Lord, that thy word would bring each one of us to a walk with thee that looks only unto thee and none other. So bless our gathering. Bless each one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was for this morning's reading and meditation a desire to turn to the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter number 1. The first epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter number 1. Ljubazni želim da se nađe iz prve poslanice apostola Pavle Timoteju, prva glava. Prva poslanica Timoteju, prva glava. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. May God bless our reading, and let us. Apostle Paul begins in this chapter, or in this epistle to Timothy, who is in Ephesus. We know in the Acts of the Apostles, as Paul is leaving the church there that he has established, that he says that the grievous wolves will come in and to seek to disperse and to bring in damnable heresies amongst them. They're not going to spare the flock. And it's only a few years, perhaps 5-6 years since that time, that Timothy stayed behind in Ephesus, and Apostle Paul is writing this letter to him. And he introduces himself here as an apostle. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he says, by the commandment of God. In other epistles, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And so if we look at the difference between a commandment of God and the will of God, we come to see that it is really just one and the same. God's will can never be different than his commandment. His commandment, as it comes to us, is his will for us. So when he commands us something, he is telling us, that is my will. And so his will was for the apostle Paul to be an apostle. His commandment was for him to be an apostle. That was the will of God. And he called Paul out of this world and had put him into this position, which Paul later, though he suffered the loss of all things, though he suffered greatly for that, he thanked God that he counted him faithful, as we read later in verse 12, that he counted him faithful to be put into that ministry which would go and call the lost, and the one that he suffered everything for and never lamented the loss of anything, of nothing. Did he lament and say, oh, if only I could have kept this or done this, or if I wasn't beaten this time? He lamented nothing. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. It's he says, it's Jesus Christ who enabled me, who gave me the strength, gave me the perseverance. Everything is in him. He gave it to me. And not only that, he counted me worthy to work for him. And brothers and sisters, that goes for every one of us. None of us can leave leave our name out of these verses, because God has called us. Did he not call us to the one and self same thing as he called the apostle to? He called him to an apostleship, which we know that the age of the apostles has gone. But he calls us as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, as endowed with the Holy Spirit of God, to carry on the work of spreading the gospel message, which we read here in one verse. The entire gospel is given, which we will come to. He says unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. He says, grace, mercy, and peace. This is his desire, his wish, his sincere prayer for Timothy. Grace, God's mercy, and God's peace. There's no better wish or prayer that we could have one for another than this. And when we pray, brothers and sisters, do we learn from the prayers of Apostle Paul as he writes to the servants in the various churches? What is our heart filled with as we approach the throne of God in prayer? Is it just a sense of duty? Is it just a sense of, this is my obligation? I know the day is over. I'm going to lay myself down to sleep. I hope I make it through the night. I hope I wake up to another day. Pray the Lord my soul to keep, and all is well. Paul says, grace, mercy, and peace. Now, If you wish that for me, and if I wish that for you, dear ones, a lot has to be eliminated. Because we have to go back now to what the commandment of Jesus Christ is, what he spoke. He goes, a commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And as a brother led us in prayer, we prayed together that our love would be able to be made manifest. The love of Jesus Christ is his love that enables us, as it enabled the Apostle Paul, to serve him and to serve one another. So it is his love. And with that commandment that we have, which again is his will, it's no different. My will, God says, is that you love one another. My commandment, just so we don't think, well, a will I can shirk, but a commandment I can't. It's the same. So God's will, God's commandment is for us to love one another. That is the only way, Jesus' words, that we will be able to show that we are his. And so if in my heart, in my deepest and sincerest prayers, as I pray for you, that I do not really wish you God's grace, God's mercy, and God's peace, which can only come upon me, not just by your prayer, but that prayer then is really telling or asking and pleading with God that in that prayer, as you have that desire for me and I have that desire for you, we know that God's peace doesn't come unless one is free of sin. And so through that, we are also praying for one another that God's peace would come upon you through the revelation of his will, his commandment into your heart as I pray for you. So whatever is in your heart and life that is taking that peace and robbing you of the peace would be restored through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. What a beautiful beginning to a letter that if Paul never would have left Ephesus when he did, he never would have written this epistle, which is love for us. So he says here, grace, mercy, and peace from who? From God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And as he says here, I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I went to Macedonia. And he says that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. This is extremely critical in Apostle Paul's life. As he writes to churches, as he writes his epistles, as he teaches this young man, a believer, one who is called into the ministry also, he goes, make sure that no other doctrine is taught. Now, he says, neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which minister questions. They're not godly edifying, which is in faith. And so, don't allow those things in the church, he tells Timothy. Don't allow those things. Rather, sound doctrine. And he says, the end of the commandment, this is what we prayed for also. The end of the commandment is, so really, the commandment of God is what he's saying, is charity out of a pure heart. Brothers and sisters, we are to have love one for another out of a pure heart with no other motives of any kind, of gain of anything, but rather to serve one another out of a pure heart. A pure heart is one that has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who has been established in the faith of Jesus Christ, who has been cleansed of his sins. He has a pure heart. And it says only the pure of heart will see God. And so the Apostle Paul is teaching, writing this epistle to Timothy, to be read to the church in Ephesus, that the commandment of God is love out of a pure heart. This isn't man's love. This isn't human love. You can define it in the Greek word defines it in 3, 4, 5 different. It can be 10 different ways. It doesn't matter. God's love is one that comes from a pure heart. We know even mobsters have love for their own children, for their own spouses or whoever. So showing love and kindness to someone just because, if it's not coming out of a pure heart, it's really of no avail. It doesn't edify the way God's love in me can edify you. And God's love in you can edify me. And that's how we, as a body of believers, function and operate in the love of God out of a pure heart. And he says here, and of a good conscience, of a good conscience. And we remember just on Wednesday we read that the conscience of those men who Jesus tells them, go ahead and cast the first stone at this adulteress that you brought to me. Go ahead and be the one and cast the first stone at her if you are without sin. And they shrink away one by one from the oldest to the youngest. And here he says, the end of the commandment is a good conscience. Again, a conscience that has been purified, that has been cleansed. There is no sin in my life. And if there is, if the remembrance of that sin comes to me as I read the epistles of Paul, as the commandments of God, as I read those things, the remembrance of sin will come. Am I to dismiss those things? If I do, I do not have a pure heart. I cannot have a pure heart. I have to, as the remembrance of those things are brought to my mind, I have to repent of that. My conscience will tell me that I have to repent, so that the end of the commandment is a pure conscience. And a pure conscience, when we come and greet one another, when we have a pure conscience one with another, it's a blessing. There is no animosity between two brothers or sisters. There's nothing to shy away from. There's nothing to fear. Oh, is she going to tell me, why did you yell at me? Or is she going to tell me, why did you speak like that about me? Did she find out? Does she know? Does he? A pure conscience greets, as it says here, the end of the commandment is charity, love. We greet one another in the love of Christ with a pure conscience and a pure heart and faith unfeigned. What a blessed salutation and reminder Paul is charging Timothy with. And then he says, some have swerved from this. So now he's going to tell Timothy, some have in the church, some have gone away from this. From what? A pure heart, a good conscience, faith unfeigned, and charity. And so some have wandered away from that. And they've turned aside into vain jangling. They think they're so full of wisdom. They Mr. Know-it-alls. He said it's just vain jangling. We know that the Bible tells us that if we don't have charity, we could speak angelic words and it's vain jangling, sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. That's it. When we swerve away from a charity out of a pure heart and a pure conscience and a love of the brethren, we have become vain janglers and tinkling cymbals. That's it. You could know anything you want. He says some have turned away from these things, and they swerved aside, turned aside, and they're designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They know nothing, is what he's saying. They're affirming something, and they know nothing. And so now he speaks about the law, and he's going to speak about, he's going to exhort Timothy, but he's also going to speak of why we are indebted to Christ and only him. and what that indebtedness to Christ brings us to. The law is one thing, Paul says. The law, he says, we know the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Paul says, by the law, no man can be saved. Paul held the law, and he says, but the law only revealed to me that I was in bondage. Because Paul said, when I read the law, I realized that I was covetous and in sin. And so the law of God was given as one that pointed to the righteous one, Jesus Christ, through whom all things can be fulfilled. He says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and for the disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners. And he goes on, for unholy, profane, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, man-killers. That's what the law is made for. He says, for whoremongers, them that defile themselves. These things are awful things. This is what a sinner is. Defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers. We know, we read it, how awful human trafficking is, and it continues even to this day. Governments are aware of it and let it go on. Man stealers, liars. Now, you know, I can distance myself from a man stealer. I can distance myself from a murderer, but now he says liars. That can hit a little bit closer to home to many of us, I believe. For perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, and he says here, this is what the law was for, anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. So we don't have to be any of these that are mentioned. We can look at them as, those are awful sinners. It doesn't describe me at all. Anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, which is the end of the commandment, is charity out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. Anything that is contrary to that is sin. And the law is there to point to me and tell me that I am in sin and there is a penalty that is coming because God is holy. And so what does God do? Paul says, I once was a blasphemer, a persecutor. I was injurious of others, but I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. Who did? A man killer. He obtained mercy. And he says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he gives the gospel message really in one verse. He says, for this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This is worthy of being accepted. This is not something, my dear brother and sister, my dear friend, that you can dismiss. This is a faithful saying. There's no lie in this. This is truth as God declares it, and he can speak no lie. This is the truth of God. He says it's a faithful saying worthy of all accepting, of acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's it. What the law could not do, Jesus said, it tells us here that Jesus came to do, to save sinners. And then Paul says, and this he says to, so that no man would think that I've lived in sin too long. My sin is too great. He says, of whom I am chief. Apostle Paul considered himself to be the chief of sinners. He knows that he was taking men who feared God, who had devoted their lives to God, who loved the Lord, and didn't hate him when he stoned them. Didn't hate him when he held their garments of those who were casting the stones on him. No, he heard the words that were uttered from the lips of Stephen. He heard those words that had to have haunted him until he came on that road to Damascus and saw that blinding light. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is one who he persecuted. This is one who he put to death. He says, I am a chief of sinners. And yet, God showed me mercy. Because God came to save sinners. And so what the law could not do, Jesus came to do. We read in Romans, Apostle Paul speaking again, he says, therefore by the deeds of the law, this is what Paul held on to. Brothers and sisters, if we hold on to the deeds of the law in order that I may be justified, I'm lost. That's not even easy to comprehend if we look at, but I'm doing good. But Paul is saying, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You're not going to be justified if you today, my dear friend, said, I'm going to obey the commandment of God. And I'm going to look to do those things, because you have to be justified by your faith. And so as we are justified and sanctified, we can see here, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. So absent of the law, the righteousness of God is made manifest in, but it is witnessed by the law and the prophets. So Jesus Christ came and was manifested. The righteousness of Christ was manifested, and it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the law and the prophets pointed to Jesus Christ, who would justify us, cleanse us, save the sinner. He says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. And there is no difference. God is not a respecter of persons as you and I are. It's inevitable, brothers and sisters and dear friends, that we look upon someone with a greater favor, even if we've never met them, than others. We are respecters of persons. We commit sin. With God, there is no respecter of persons. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it says here, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, it's only in him. Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. And it says, God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. This is who Jesus is. And so later on, he says in the same chapter 3 of Romans, he says, Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, Or actually in verse 28 it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And so in verse 31 he concludes this chapter. He says, do we then make void the law through faith? So God gave a commandment. That's his law. And so Paul just says, all have sinned and come short. And he says, and we conclude, this is a conclusion, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And then he says, do we then make void the law through faith? Paul says, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The law now, through our faith in Christ Jesus, as we are justified, we are sanctified and enabled now to fulfill God's commandment and law. That doesn't save me. My faith in Christ Jesus, I believed in him, that saved me. And the new man that is created within me is enabled and empowered by the God, by Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit. The triune God enables me now to do his will, to do his commandment. And I live for nothing else. He is my joy. He is my all. He has to be my all, or he is not at all. I cannot dismiss his law now. Not that I'm going to be justified by it, but if I proclaim faith in him, I will look to obey it. Not because I have to, because I want to. Why? Because I serve him. I love him. Dear ones, that is empowering. That's edifying. What the Apostle Paul is teaching here. And that brings me back. That brings me now back to my life. Do I see discrepancies in my life that go against the will of God, my Father? That go against the commandment of God, my Father? And if it does, what do I do with that? If I feel justified knowing I have sin, knowing I have anger, knowing I have lusts, knowing I have, as John says in his epistle, the Apostle John says, the lusts of the flesh, or the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life, if any of that is in me, then Christ is not in me. And so if that is in me, I have to repent. Not I have to. If I'm going to be saved, I must repent. But I can ignore it. And the only reason I would ignore it is because I don't want Jesus. That's the only reason. So how can I believe in one who I don't want? The power is in him. The only way to have that power is to walk with him, follow him, learn of him. That's plugging into the power source that enables me. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. It's not me, it's him. And he says here, he says that in me first, Christ, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul has lived a life as a pattern for you and for me. Jesus Christ has lived as a pattern for you and for me. To them which should hereafter believe. You believe in Jesus? He says, now there's a pattern. If that faith, if you're going to be justified by that faith that you speak of, that you have in Christ, if you're going to be justified by that, then Paul says you will also be enabled to, as you believe on him and to have that pattern that Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, the apostles, and all the saints of old has lived. And he says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. How do we give honor and glory to God? Through our faith. Through our faith in him. We glorify him. We never glorify ourselves. As we speak of him, we glorify him. Paul says, I am a chief of sinners. In other words, I've given all glory to God. I was a chief of sinners. I was here. Nothing that I did. Because if he says, if he gloried in anything that he did, then he's taken, robbing God of his glory, who will not allow that to happen. And so Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. God enabled me. Why? Because I believed in him. He justified me, sanctified me, and he will glorify me when this short life is over. God eternal, says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Look how he writes to him. He says, this charge, I'm charging you. I'm committing this unto you. Brothers and sisters, this doesn't fall upon the elders of the church only. This falls upon every member upon the body of Jesus Christ. We have been charged and committed to preach, teach, hold fast to sound doctrine. One that is pure, one that is has the end of the commandment, which is love out of a pure heart, good conscience, and a faith that is unfeigned. So he says, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest what? War a good warfare. Timothy, this is a battle. This isn't sit back and relax, go on vacation, relax, who cares about anything? I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go. I'm going to sit at home. Why? Why? Because you don't feel you're in a war. We don't feel we're in a warfare if we could just relax. I don't need to be with the church, the body of believers, of whom Christ is the head. I am the body. I am on that body. I don't want to be with the body. How? Why? Because I'm not in a warfare. That's the bottom line. I'm not in a warfare. I'm not fighting the war. And he says, I'm telling you this so that you would fight and war a good warfare. One that holds back unfaithfulness, doctrinal differences that will cause someone to lose their salvation and rely upon something other than the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing a hymn, I can't quote it word for word, but I know it says something like, what has saved me? He says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Paul is saying that here. It's only his blood that has saved me and sanctified me. That the sanctification is the enabling. He has enabled me to fight this war and to win. And he says, hold on to faith. And again, we come back to the good conscience. He says, which some have put away. What did they put away? Faith. We say, well, I still believe in Christ. No, you put it away. If you put away that good conscience, you put away that good faith. And your conscience isn't as soft and tender as it was when you first believed. And so you put it away, and Paul says, they made a shipwreck of their faith. They ran it in, they ran their ship of faith onto the rocks. We know what happened in the Acts of the Apostles when Paul was on a ship and it ran into the rocks. It fell apart. The ship fell apart. So if we dismiss the commandment, the will of God, as I'm okay, I believe in Jesus, God doesn't ask perfection from me, I can be angry at my brother and sister, I can drink more than I should, I can do this, I can lust, I can dream about unclean things, I can do it. As long as I don't, we make a shipwreck of our faith. And he gives an example here of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, which both he, I believe later on he speaks of both of these men. He says, they made a shipwreck of their faith and they've been excommunicated from the church. He said, I've delivered them unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Been separated from the church of God as they blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. And so, dear ones, the Lord has called us unto a faithful life, a life of love, service, devotion, sacrifice. And Paul always prayed and asked and coveted the prayers of the believers. And so, dear ones, when we pray for one another, let's pray for grace. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray for faith. Let's pray for love. Let's pray for all of the fruit of the Spirit. So that as we pray for someone, the God who alone is able to prick and to move a heart and answer prayers, he can do that. If we pray earnestly, God says he will hear us. But if I'm praying earnestly for you, brother, I'm not going to be doing you nothing, no wrong. I won't do you any wrong. You can't. You can't. Then you're not praying earnestly. And so if you're not praying earnestly, that means you have hatred towards me or one another. And you disobey the commandment of God to love one another. And what, the blood of Christ will save you? Wrong. Wrong. The blood of Christ will sanctify you and give you an enablement to put that sin away if you love him, which is my prayer and desire for each one of us, that we would love our Lord and our Savior. Amen.